You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
And back with you for our second hour. Welcome back to all the Wolfpack listeners here from Studio 19 in Arizona. Samantha, my producer, running the boards, keeping things on tack, and you, the Wolfpack listeners, keeping us motivated, energized, and going forward headstrong into the day. Into the day, the night, the evening. Still boggles my mind with internet streaming. Some of you are in Australia, some of you in the United States, some in Brazil, some of you in France, Thailand, all over Russia, Poland, and it's different time zones, and that's why I hesitate to say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, or even to give you a time, because it's different times from around the world. So there. All right. Jumping aboard in the second hour. Let's get right into it. Let's grab. Yeah, let's start it out. You know what? I want to talk about Newt. Good old Newt. I love Newt. Newt Gingrich. Gingrich, yes. Apparently Newt took off the kid gloves, folks. That's right. Newt's not playing anymore. He's serious. He's going for the gusto. Newt rips Hillary. And former House Speaker Newt Gingrich yesterday called Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton a nasty woman who runs an endlessly ruthless campaign machine. The conservative Republican made the surprising comments after months of taking care not to trash the Democratic presidential frontrunner in a wide-ranging New York Post editorial board interview. Asked whether Americans are ready to elect Rudy Giuliani a leader, the questioner noted, whom Ed Koch has called a nasty man, Gingrich shot back as opposed to a nasty woman. That's childish, Rudy. Childish Newt. Gingrich added that he thinks she'll be the nominee. Cited the battle between Clinton's camp and Senator Barack Obama's team last week over Obama donor David Geffen bashing the former first couple. Nobody will outmud the Clintons, said Gingrich. Oh, I seem to recall Newt did a pretty good job when he was House Speaker. Anybody remember that during Clinton's years? Pot calling the kettle black. Gingrich, who added that he'll decide in the coming months whether to run for the White House. Good, we'll have another nut. We'll have Giuliani, who's a liar, has all his mistress scandals, made his reputation off of 9/11, ladies and gentlemen, was a very bad mayor. One day before, his reputation was in the crapper, and then all of a sudden 9/11 came along, and he looked like a saint. John McCain, who says anything and everything just to gain voter support, depending on where he's at any moment or what speech he's given. And now Mr. Newt Gingrich, the Contract for America, the book, the ripping apart the Clintons with the impeachment, and oh, man, what a field day the GOP, we're going to have with the GOP, right? He called Clinton's political team one of the most talented in U.S. history, but endlessly ruthless. You can't beat them tactically. They're too relentless. They're too well organized. They have too big a machine, and they'll just grind you down. Hey, that sounds like the Indianapolis Colts or the Chicago Bears. Is Newt possibly jealous? Ruthless and a great machine and well oiled, and that you can't beat them. That's a professional team, Newt. Get over it. If they think Obama's a real threat, they'll just grind him up. Gingrich's harsh comments about Clinton were surprising because he has complimented her abilities, worked with her last year on a health care initiative. Now, Clinton campaign spokesman Blake Zeff cited several instances in the last year where Gingrich had kind words for the senator before Mr. Gingrich started running for president. He repeatedly praised Senator Clinton, Zeff said. We take him at his word then. During the post-session, Gingrich also said he dubbed Obama a great counter-image to Clinton, but said he doesn't think the Illinois Democrat can win. If the country wants therapy, they're going to elect Obama, he said. Said the GOP needs to nominate a Ronald Reagan-type candidate, and I think it's not an accident that Giuliani is running as well as he is in the polls. Gingrich called New York's evolution under Giuliani a tremendous story. It's a different city. Oh, please, I'm going to gag. Gingrich went on and warned that the GOP is in the early stages of an enormous transition and suggested electability is an issue for Republicans. A normative Republican running like a traditional Republican, which means a non-Reagan Republican, and trying to beat Hillary by being negative is hopeless, he said. Last night at an election forum at Cooper Union, Gingrich and former Governor Mario Cuomo agreed on the need for more meaningful debates for the presidential candidates in 08. Gingrich called for 9 weekly 90-minute debates between the two nominees before Election Day. So, Newt. Newt's got a scoot. Newt looks like he's running for office, doesn't he? Newt looks like he's, I'm going to get into the ring. I better say something. I said she was a nice lady. Let's see. She's ruthless. They're well-oiled. They will, you can't beat them. Well, that's a nice compliment. Nice to know if I'm going to go up against somebody that they're ruthless and you can't beat them, they're a great team then. You know, they're a great organization. So Newt crying foul, calling Hillary nasty, calling her and Bill the biggest mudslingers around, and I believe Newt did that for many years as the House Speaker. Remember how he loved Newt? Newt was such a wonderful human being, folks. I just say consider the source. Listen to where this rhetoric is coming from, and then we laugh our rear ends off, okay? That's all we have to do. We just have to sit there and go, ha, 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 you guys are silly. All right. Moving along, let's drop Newt. Enough of Newt. Newt got his 15 minutes of fame, and if he thinks America is going to vote for him, he's crazy. All right, Gore says media is missing his climate message. He says journalists have leaned towards balance at expense of consensus data. According to Gore, after being the red carpet darling of the Academy Awards, according to this Wire story, it was back to reality Tuesday for Al Gore, who resumed his usual role of history sprouting wonk as he addressed a gathering of national media enthusiasts at MTSU. Gore was the star of An Inconvenient Truth, which won Best Documentary Feature at Sunday night's Oscars. Of course, the film showed the slideshow presentation the former vice president has given countless times across the nation. Back in Tennessee on Tuesday, Gore told a crowd of about 50 people at the U.S. Media Ethics Summit 2 that the presentation's single most provocative slide was the one that contrasts results of two long-term studies. A 10-year University of California study found that essentially 0% of peer-reviewed scientific journal articles disagreed and global warming exists, whereas another study found that 53% of mainstream newspaper articles disagreed the global warming premise. He noted that recently, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released its fourth unanimous report calling on world leaders to take action on global warming. And I believe that this is one of the principal reasons why political leaders around the world have not yet taken action, Gore said. There are many reasons, but one of the principal reasons, in my views, is more than half of the mainstream media have rejected the scientific consensus implicitly. And I say rejected perhaps is the wrong word. They have failed to report that it is the consensus instead have chosen balance as bias. I don't think that any of the editors or reporters responsible for one of these stories is saying it may be real, it may not be real, is unethical, but I think they make the wrong choice, and I think the consequences are severe, Al Gore says. I think if it is important to look at the pressures that made it more likely than not that mainstream journalists in the United States would convey a wholly inaccurate conclusion about the most important moral, ethical, spiritual, and political issue humankind has ever faced. Gore would not answer questions from the media after the event, but Gore is saying that the media is missing his climate message and they have leaned towards balance. Instead of talking about the consensus data that's coming out, they're trying to be balanced in presenting both sides when it clearly shows unequivocally that there is global warming and most likely it's caused by humans. Okay, so can't fault Al for that. And, you know, Al's trying to ride this horse about global warming and some people dismiss it. Some people don't really believe global warming is happening. I do. I kind of say that, and I don't want to put down any of my listeners. I know a couple of my listeners don't agree that global warming is happening. And I'm not saying that they are stupid or that they're wrong. They may be uninformed, but I think it's clear that the evidence shows global warming does exist, and the majority of the global warming is from man-made causes. And we can't sit on our backsides continuing to discuss the discussion of the discussion to decide if we're going to discuss global warming. We need to do something. Otherwise, in a short period of time, in our lifetime or the next generation's lifetime, there's going to be serious consequences on Earth. Gloom and doom, no. Reality, yes. Got to be aware what's happening with global warming. We need to step up and do something and be proactive. The problem with this country lately, since I've been around, is the inactive situation that we find ourselves in. It takes committees upon committees to even discuss anything. It takes forever to get anything done. And I think a lot of us, the majority of us, I know I am, are fed up at the lack of movement to change things. We should be a futuristic society. We should have a world-class city in all the cities. We should be cleaning up poverty. We should be cleaning up hunger. We should be working and moving forward on the diseases that we need to attack. We should have vaccines in place for bird flu if there's supposedly going to be a pandemic. We should start thinking for the future, the 28th century, instead of thinking like in the 18th century. We are slow to react. We are slow to do anything about anything. And we are stuck in this inertia, this molasses, this muck and mire of moving in slow motion to get anything done. We're sitting there with the Iraq war all these years, 4 years plus, talking about Iraq war and Iran and North Korea. Important issues, obviously. But folks, we need to start renovating. We need to start redoing things. Listen to John Fox's show, Foxed Up. We need to do things to go green. We need to go renewable energy. We need to get away from the dependency on oil and coal. We need to go solar. We need to go wind. We need to go all the different technologies. We need to start changing the way we think and being excited about the future instead of lost in the past and trying to figure out how we're going to get troops home from Iraq, which is important. My point is, the troops should be home from Iraq so we can concentrate on moving this country forward. It's not a big stretch. I'm not saying anything anyone else of you are not thinking. But the problem is, the people in charge are taking too long. I want to wake up in the next 10 years and see, my God, look at this country transformed. Traffic and pollution and wow, an excitement about the future. You know why science fiction movies and why science fiction TV series are so popular? Because there's an excitement factor of look at all the neat looks out there and the gadgets and the wondrous ways. Now, obviously, you have science fiction movies like Blade Runner, that is a very depressing movie, shows you the negativity of the future, which is, I think, that's where we're stuck now. We're in a dismal period. Is there hope for mankind? I would hope so. But we are in a dismal period of not moving forward and innovating and renovating. Sure, there are breakthroughs on the scientific front. Sure, there are breakthroughs in medicine. But we're not collectively putting our energies behind this. This should be the foremost, forefront situation focused on doing things to change, to make things better. We're still working 9 to 5. We're still working paycheck to paycheck. The American dream to get a house. Some of us did it. Some of us didn't. Some of us were looking, my God, we're in a rut. We can't pay for our kids' college education. We're stuck in the same middle-class mentality. There supposedly is no middle class, but we're stuck in the middle-class mentality. And we need to break free. We need to have a renaissance. Unfortunately, the time to write, the time to draw, the time to paint, to sing, to dance, to let our spirits go free. And that's important. And I think that's the frustration. Wouldn't it be great in your 50s? Some of you may be doing it, but in your 50s or 40s, to be able to do what you actually want to do, and knowing you have enough money, and there's a beautiful world out there, and it's not with all the wars, and not with the lies in the administration, not with all the deceit in the political arena right now. Anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to talk more on the show, more articles, more information, more Wire stories, more discussions. You're on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, and we are from Studio 19, Arizona, live, streaming worldwide. And you're listening to America's Liberal Voice, the Head-On Radio Network. Samantha's saying I got to go to a break. We're going to take our break. When we get back, more discussion. We got about an hour and 45 minutes left still in our show. So don't go away. We're still here. We want the Wolfpack listening audience, the Wolfpack, to come back and join me in the Wolf's Den. Jeff Allen Wolf saying, coming right back.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online Digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
Hey, Wolfpack listeners, we'd like you to send us your emails and your voice comments, and the best way to do that is write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your message on our voice comment line. The number is 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919, and that gets you into Studio 19 at any hour of the day to talk about anything you want to. Mention something we talked about on the show or bring up a different topic entirely. Send your emails, send your voice comments to us, to the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We'd love to hear from you.
Narrowcast Podcast. World class. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
And back with you again in our second hour, taking you to the bottom of our second hour, about an hour and 43 minutes thereabouts left in the show. We're not even halfway through. So welcome back, Wolfpack listeners, and like the voiceover said there about the emails, we're asking you for your emails so we can show our potential investors that are discussing putting our show in syndication that we need to show them the groundswell of support from all the Wolfpack listeners out there. If you've never written before, if you want liberal talk radio, if you want progressive, open, honest talk to continue on the internet, and remember, we're not a corporate show, we don't get a salary, we're not supported by government agencies. If you want stuff like this to survive, money? No, you know, we can do that, but we're not doing that. Emails. Don't claim, oh, I'm enjoying the show. Don't say, I really love listening to Jeff. He's doing a great job. Or, I'll listen every day, but not take the time out to write an email. Not using your email addresses, folks. Never do that. The only way we use your email address is to respond back to you. They stay with us in the vault. They don't go anywhere. We don't solicit you. We don't market you. We just keep you up to date on show information. So come on, guys and gals, ladies and gents, men and women, boys and girls, Wolfpack listeners, email us, show us your support so we can show these investors that we have a major show that should be syndicated worldwide and be listened to by millions of people instead of the thousands of people that we have now. We need to grow this show bigger. And you sending your email to wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, WOLFPACK. TALK@yahoo.com. Your first name, your age range, city, state, or country you're listening from, how you heard about the show, and what do you think about the show, and any comments you want to make. Okay, fair enough. Thank you. All right. Time poll. Time poll shows Giuliani's lead widens. If presidential campaigning were about something other than politics, how would the current crop of candidates fare? We'll take speed dating, this article says. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who's on wife number 3, was judged most likely to be best at the new matchmaking technique, outdistancing Barack Obama by 3 points and New York Senator Hillary Clinton by 4 in a Time poll. Giuliani came in second when voters were asked to name which presidential candidate they most like as a teammate on The Apprentice. 5 points behind Hillary Clinton. So Hillary was first. Giuliani was 5 points behind, but asked what candidate would be the best boss. They picked Giuliani again at 18%, just ahead of both Obama and Clinton. Boy, does Rudy have them fooled. Of such little things, perhaps, are presidential nominees made. According to the New Time poll, Giuliani now leads his closest rival for the Republican nomination, Senator John McCain of Arizona, by 14 points, 38% to 24% among registered Republicans, and those who are leaning toward the GOP. Now, in January, a Time poll showed McCain ahead by 4 points, a startling swing of 18 points. The core of Giuliani's strength is that in the Northeast, it says, where he has a 50% to 23% advantage over McCain. But even in the West, he leads McCain by 5 points. The poll conducted for Time by Shulman, Ronka, and Bukuvalis Public Affairs surveyed 1,400 registered voters by phone. Make that 1,144 to be accurate. From February 23rd to 26th, it has a margin of error plus or minus 3 percentage points. Now, third among the Republicans in the Times poll with 12% was former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney was at 7%. The rest of the Republican field polled in the very low single digits. If the GOP field were limited to Giuliani, McCain, and Romney, the former mayor would have a slightly more commanding lead, 49% to McCain's 30%, with Romney at 12%. As for the Democrats, Clinton's lead has eroded since the last Time poll. Obama has closed to within 12 points, 36% to 24%, gaining 7 points since January, a reflection perhaps of the dust-up over anti-Clinton comments by Hollywood mogul David Geffen, who is now supporting Obama. The African-American component of the Democrats' poll appears to be evenly split between the two senators. Now, former Vice President Al Gore, who has not declared his candidacy, was in third place at 13%, while former North Carolina Senator John Edwards kept a firm hold of fourth place with 11%. Clinton's strongest regions were in the Northeast, where she holds a 42% to 20% advantage over Obama, and the South, where she has a 42% to 19% lead. They are head-to-head in the West, and Obama leads Clinton in the Midwest, 31% to 28%, in a three-way runoff among Clinton, Obama, and Edwards. The former First Lady leads with 42% to Obama's 30% and Edwards' 22%. In a general election, the poll showed that a Clinton versus McCain contest would be a virtual dead heat, where she would lose to Giuliani by 3%. Obama, according to the poll, would beat McCain by 4 points, but would trail Giuliani by 5. I'm telling you, folks, they're giving Giuliani way too much street cred. They're making Giuliani look like, you know something? I hope Giuliani's the nominee. Please make Giuliani the nominee. I'll tell you why. The dirt that would come out about Rudy Giuliani would make your head spin. Three wives. Remember the thing with the mistress living in the mansion, the mayor's mansion, while his wife was still there, and all the stuff and all the scandals with the police officers and with his ties to the businesses, with the 9/11 and capitalizing money and making money off the 9/11 image. Giuliani is loaded with skeletons, folks. In fact, this article from Washington from the Examiner says, draft questions cloud Giuliani's chances. If this presidential campaign is anything like the last, John McCain's Vietnam service will inevitably be contrasted with GOP rival Rudy Giuliani's avoidance of a war that he opposed. Any suggestion that he was dodging the draft is totally factually inaccurate, said a senior Giuliani campaign advisor who spoke on the condition of anonymity because of the sensitivity of the topic. He opposed the war on tactical and strategic grounds. But as far back as 1993, when he successfully ran for mayor of New York, Giuliani has been dogged by accusations that he pulled strings to avoid the draft. By contrast, McCain has long been feted as a bona fide war hero for his harrowing stint in a Vietnamese prison. Now, anyone who dismisses the significance of Vietnam as a potential issue in the 08 campaign is forgetting how surprisingly potent it proved in 04, when there was enormous interest in the military records of both President Bush, if you remember, and Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts. 4 years later, with the nation still at war, Americans are likely to again scrutinize the military records of those who seek the job of commander-in-chief. Giuliani once said of the Vietnam War, I disagreed with it, obtained an occupational deferment in 69 when he was a law clerk. Although critics say such deferments were rare, the Giuliani campaign disagrees. He wanted an occupational deferment, which was very common at the time because he wanted to be a lawyer, the Giuliani advisor said. When Giuliani's deferment expired in 1970, he drew draft number 308, which was never called. His campaign suggests this proves he was not a draft dodger. This is an important point. After his deferment, his name was entered into the lottery at least once, and he had a high number, the advisor said. Still, Giuliani has always been politically sensitive to the issue. During his 1993 mayoral campaign, he commissioned a vulnerability study that listed a draft dodger as one of the epithets that might be hurled against him. In blunt language, the consultants who prepared the study articulated how adversaries might frame the issue. Giuliani received special treatment from a friendly federal judge to avoid military service during the Vietnam War when thousands of less fortunate people were dying, they wrote. Then as a member of the Justice Department, he hypocritically prosecuted draft dodgers. This article rips him, folks. Mark Salter, McCain's chief of staff, said he had no idea whether Giuliani's deferment would become a presidential campaign issue. Who knows, he told the Examiner. One assumes just about everything these days gets examined. He added, I don't think McCain would want to be an issue, would want it to be an issue. I know that sort of suggests a false modesty, but I really don't. The false modesty remark was an allusion to the Arizona senator's extensive military background. The son and grandson of admirals, McCain graduated from the Naval Academy, served 22 years in the Navy, including 5.5 as a prisoner of war in Hanoi. Thus, if Vietnam becomes an issue in the 08 campaign, the article says, McCain might find himself in the role that Kerry had hoped to play in 04. Unassailable war hero. That status eluded Kerry when his combat record was challenged by Swift Boat Veterans for the Truth, who has denounced the Democrat for accusing fellow Vietnam veterans of war crimes. Now, the article goes on to wrap up and say, Giuliani, on the other hand, who had a 2-to-1 advantage over McCain in an ABC poll of Republicans this week, could find his record subjected to the sort of intense scrutiny that Bush experienced in 04. Some of that scrutiny came from Kerry himself, who questioned whether Bush had fulfilled his stateside duties in the National Guard. CBS News raised similar questions in a 60 Minutes broadcast that backfired because the network used documents that could not be authenticated. The ensuing scandal known as Memogate ended up inoculating Bush against further attacks on his military record. No, they blew it, folks. Swift Boat's co-founder John O'Neill said the only reason Vietnam became a major issue in 04 was that Kerry kept bringing it up. I do think Kerry was a special case, O'Neill said. Whatever Giuliani or the rest of these people did or didn't do in terms of the Vietnam War, I don't think that's a legitimate issue in the presidential campaign of 08. During an interview with the Examiner last fall when he was mounting his second bid for the White House, Kerry said of the Swift Boat veterans, I prepared to kick their ass from one end of America to the other, but the senator from Massachusetts later dropped out of the race. Kerry's spokeswoman Amy Brundage said this week that 08 should be a choice between candidates' visions on ending the war in Iraq, she added. The conversation must not be stolen by partisan front groups that use lying, despicable attack ads to smear the records of those who have served in uniform. During the Vietnam War, Romney divided his time between college and overseas work for the Mormon Church. A young Mitt Romney became eligible for the draft in 70, but his number was not called in the military draft, Romney spokesman Kevin Madden said. During that time, he did spend years as a missionary for his church in France. Notice all the candidates coming out and saying what they did in the war because they know this is going to be an issue, folks. Illinois Senator Barack Obama was only 14 when the Vietnam War ended. New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, as a woman, was not subjected to the draft that would complicate her future husband's White House bid. John Edwards, who is also running for president, didn't get many questions about his military record when he was running as the primary running mate as a vice president in 04, thanks to all the focus on Kerry and Bush. I did not serve in the military, Edwards said in April 04. An interview with Katie Couric, who then asked if he had a high lottery number. I did, and I came up after that time, and they were actually drawing from the lottery. And because of the time I came along and graduated from high school and then went to the college, I was not drafted. So there we go. Little background on what's happening with Giuliani in his past. What is going to haunt him, I think, folks. And I think that's going to play out in the 08 election. I think Giuliani's image is going to get tarnished when the truth comes out. People realize the skeleton's in his closet and realize he's not as squeaky clean as everybody thinks. I'm Jeff Allen Wolf, Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We're coming back right after these words from our sponsor.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
Hey, Wolfpack listeners, we'd like you to send us your emails and your voice comments, and the best way to do that is write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's WOLFPACKTALK at yahoo.com. Or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your message on our voice comment line. The number is 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919, and that gets you into Studio 19 at any hour of the day to talk about anything you want to. Mention something we talked about on the show or bring up a different topic entirely. Send your emails, send your voice comments to us, to the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We'd love to hear from you.
On this show, there's only one rule: no spin. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
And back with you at the bottom of our second hour, about an hour a minute. An hour and 27 and a half minutes to go. Let's be accurate here. Sound like Spock. Welcome aboard, Wolfpack listeners. Jeff Allen Wolf, Studio 19 Live. Talking about all the different news stories across the wire services. And like I said, we take on anyone. We don't just attack the Republicans. Anybody that's out of line, we say it as it is. And, we're just going to keep plugging away against the people out there that need plugging. And that includes the Democrats as well. But with that in mind, I haven't played this cut in a while from freedomtoast.com, political group. Let's bring up cut number 4. Let's take a little musical break. I just want to rest my voice for a couple of seconds here before we continue. Take a listen to this. I like this cut. This is about the far right. Okay, so hopefully you enjoy that. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Strangers on the right, invading Congress. Strangers on the right, impeding progress, they'll put up a fight. True liberals like you, something in their eyes resembles fire. Roe v. Wade's demise is their desire. Cutting down two sides, those states that still are blue. Strangers on the right, to Europeans they are strangers on the right. Not seen in eons, they will terrorize the left, leave their hopes bereft, making known their stance today and taking welfare grants away. Democrats you are, but soon no longer. Delay's rising star keeps growing stronger. Is one party state, it might just soon come true. Maybe good for good, but not for gander, where you cannot win. Just gerrymander, make sure that the house obeys no one but you. Strangers on the right, oh, call it power, they are strangers on the right. Throw in the towel, you will never get your way, never have a say. Join a university if you desire diversity. Ever since the right has been controlling, now you know for whom the bell is tolling. They give me a fright.
Live from Studio 19 in Arizona, it's Jeff Allen Wolf. Again on the Venture 3 Radio Network.
And back with you again. Just wanted to throw that and give you a musical interlude. That's the Freedom Toast. You can go to thefreedomtoast.com, and they have a CD on the Republicans. They have a CD on the Democrats. We haven't played that for several months, and we wanted to throw that in, and kind of fun stuff. We like to do a little comedy, little commentary every now and then with musical interludes from political groups. So please check that out, and we'll go from there. And let's see, what else? Okay, yes. This came across from Bloomberg.com. Remember Alan Greenspan saying a recession is going to happen at the end of the year? And Bernanke, the current Federal Reserve chairman, said it's an expansive economy. When Greenspan said it, the kind of stock market took a little bit of a dive. Shows you how much power he still has. Well, now there's a new retraction out by Alan Greenspan. I find it intriguing. He was told to shut up, or the administration shot him down, or I don't know. He had second thoughts, or it's amazing. He makes a comment. Suppose he was respected, then he has to retract it because of the chaos he caused. Greenspan says U.S. recession possible, not probable. This was today. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said a recession in the U.S. is possible, though not probable this year, even though he said this before. This excess industry inventory is being reduced quickly, according to people attending a CLSA Japan forum in Tokyo today. By the end of the year, there is the possibility, but not the probability, of the U.S. moving into recession, Greenspan said, according to notes taken by Bernard Key, a former economics professor at Tama University in Tokyo, who attended the event. Now, Greenspan's comments may be an attempt to clarify remarks he made on February 26, and we talked about those remarks in our show, that some traders say contributed to a global plunge in stocks the following day. He told an audience in Hong Kong 3 days ago that he couldn't rule out a recession this year, in part because a slowing growth in profit margins suggests the expansion might be winding down, the Associated Press reported. His earlier statement was probably misinterpreted. That's why we see a clarification today. They're panicking, folks, said Glenn McGuire, chief Asia economist for Societe Generale SA in Hong Kong. To hint at the possibility of a recession won't make Bernanke's life any easier, he added, referring to Greenspan's successor. See, Greenspan said recession. That was the earlier article we talked about on our show in the last day or two. And Bernanke was saying, no, expansion. So they seemed at odds. So who said what to whom at what time to have Alan Greenspan retract a statement? Oh, I'm sorry, it was a misunderstanding. Okay? Stock market takes a plunge, folks, the next day because of Alan Greenspan's comments. Now, Greenspan spoke in a satellite video link, and Key's notes were confirmed by four people who attended the conference and declined to be identified. CLSA wouldn't comment on Greenspan's presentation. Bernanke's outlook? Well, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke told Congress yesterday that the central bank still expects the economy to pick up later this year. Greenspan acknowledged earlier in the week that most economists don't foresee a recession. Current low yield premiums aren't substantial. Profit margins are peaking. The U.S. growth cycle is in a mature phase, Greenspan said today. The former Fed chairman said previous experience suggests a flattening of profit margins should produce a recession. The globalization of the economy may mean that the pattern may not be repeated this time, according to a fund manager who attended the presentation. Greenspan's remarks earlier this week emerged at a time of weakness in some areas of the U.S. economy, including the housing and auto industries, in an expansion that started in 2001. So basically, Greenspan made a statement, whether true or not, we don't know now, and apparently a retraction, a re, a reduction, a redoodle, a restatement, whatever you want to call it. He's changing his tune and saying, oh, it's very important to us, so please send your emails. The emails will be coming up soon. You'll get the address in the next minute. And let us know you're out there and listening and help support the show so I can show these to the investors so we can get syndicated worldwide in 15,000 Wi-Fi hotspots around the world. We appreciate your emails. We're coming right back with more of the show right after this break.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
Back listeners, we'd like you to send us your emails and your voice comments, and the best way to do that is write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your message on our voice comment line. The number is 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919. 3919, and that gets you into Studio 19 at any hour of the day to talk about anything you want to. Mention something we talked about on the show or bring up a different topic entirely. Send your emails, send your voice comments to us, to the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We'd love to hear from you.
Filtered, unspun, a little unhinged, but with a huge dose of common sense. It's Jeff Allen Wolf.
Swackies, Wolf Swackies. It's Wolf Swackies Stories.
And we haven't done a Wolf's Wackies in a while. Offbeat, weird news stories from around the world. Man tries to cash a $50,000 check from God. That's right. Kevin Russell found out it's not easy trying to cash a check from God. The 21-year-old man was arrested Monday after he tried to cash a check for $50,000 at the Chase Bank in Hobart that was signed King Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Servant, Hobart Police Detective Jeff White said. Russell was charged with one count attempted check fraud, one count intimidation, both felonies, and one count resisting law enforcement, a misdemeanor. He could face prison time. Police were called to the bank after Russell tried to cash the check, which was written on an invalid Bank One check with no imprint. White said Russell had several other checks with him that were signed the same way but made out in different dollar amounts, including one for $100,000. Russell struggled with police as they tried to detain him, White said, and then threatened police as they transported him to the Hobart Police Department. I've heard about God giving out eternal life, but this is the first time I've heard about him giving out cash, White said. No court date has been set for Russell, who's being held Wednesday at the Lake County Jail on a $1,000 bond. Man trying to cash $50,000 check from God, unfortunately not funded. That's our Wolf's Wackies.
Unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, unshaven, uncorked, unglued, but totally assembled. It's Jeff Allen Wolf with a huge dose of common sense for you.
We'll be right back. And back with, I love that. Yes, let's try to cash a check from God. It's God. You know, his signature's good. God, you know, he has money. Okay, yeah, you know. Yeah, personal check. I met him. Yeah, met him at the cocktail party. He's funding a radio show that I'm doing. And God said, what do you need? I said, 50 grand. He said, no problem. Here you go, kid. Just make it out to Jeff Allen Wolf and just put your signature there. God. Okay? Yeah, our Wolf's Wackies. We haven't done that in a while. We've been neglected that some people wrote and said, where's the Wolf's Wackies? We love the Wolf's Wackies. All right, let's go into our show. We got about 10 minutes before the top of our second hour. So let's go into our last article, news story. Governor signs bill into law. Cheyenne, Governor Day Freudenthal signed two popular bills into law on Wednesday to the delight of Senator Tony Ross, Republican of Cheyenne, and former Representative Ann Robinson. He signed Senate File 33, a bill that bans nearly all open containers of alcohol in motor vehicles, and House Bill 93, the bill that permanently removes the sales tax on groceries. During over 10 years of work on this bill, there were times I never thought I'd see the day, Ross said of the open containers bill. I'm so very pleased that we can do something positive to protect our citizens on our state roads and highways. Freudenthal said he was also pleased that the bill passed at a time when he was able to sign it. I don't know whether to commend Senator Ross, then Representative Ross, for being the most tenacious or the slowest person I know to ever get a bill passed, he said teasingly. Ross said current statistics show that states that pass open container laws see about a 5.1% decrease in fatal alcohol-related traffic accidents. Now, many Wyoming municipalities, including Cheyenne, already ban open containers, but open containers have remained legal on state highways. Now, moving further, I want to talk about the grocery things here. Let me see where that is. Here it is. Okay, sales tax and food. That's the key that I want to talk about and see what you think about that, folks. Former Representative Ann Robinson beamed as the governor signed the bill making the temporary removal of the sales tax on food passed last year permanent. Bills to lift the tax had first been brought by lawmakers in the 50s, she said, so Wednesday also marked the end of a very long process for that idea as well. Food is the most basic need of people in Wyoming, she said, and it's not a place for collecting taxes. Robinson said she had been stopped several times by people she has never met before in a Casper grocery store to thank her for spearheading the grocery tax abolition effort. Though it only means 5 cents on the dollar for a Casper grocery bill, it makes a big difference to a lot of people. The best thing we can do for working people is to keep taxes low and keep money in their pockets, said Senator John Barrasco, Republican Casper, one of the bill's Senate sponsors. Senator Kurt Meyer, Republican LaGrange, pledged to the communities of Wyoming that the legislature will make sure they have the money they need to make up for the revenues lost on the food tax. Other bills signed. So just that. So what do you think? This is kind of cool. And by the way, Republican do good. Ooh, got to give him a round of applause for doing good. A Republican did a good job. So no grocery taxes in Wyoming. I think it's kind of cool. Think about that. You spend a $75 bill, a $100 bill. Here it's 8.5% on the dollar in Arizona. That adds up, folks, $8, $10, $12, $5, $6, $7, each grocery bill, $30, $40, $50, $60 a month. That's a lot. Pays for a tank of gas, a phone bill, some extra groceries that you wouldn't normally get because, you know, you're cutting back on your budget but you can't afford certain cuts of meat or certain quality food. I like the idea. What do you think? Wolf wants to know, do you think where you are, if you're not in Wyoming, that there should be a lifting or a ban permanently on taxes on groceries? Okay? Should the grocery taxes, if you have it in your state, should it be eliminated? What are other countries doing? From our listeners from around the world, let us know. What does your country do? Do they tax groceries? How does it work there? I'm not privy to all the different ways the countries work. So write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com, and let us know what do you think about this, what Wyoming, what the governor is doing there about the bills, about the taxes on groceries being permanently lifted, no more taxes on groceries. You go to the store and you buy groceries, your total of your groceries is your total of your groceries. Now I'm curious. Would they raise the grocery prices to make up for that secretly? I hope they don't do that. You know, a can of soup, 65 cents is now 67 cents. Bread, $1 is now $1.02. $1, you know, they notch it up and somehow, you know, siphon it off and fund it to the government. I hope they don't do that. This is a government tax. They're saying if you buy groceries, zero taxes. Hey, as a consumer, I like that. Anything that saves me money, saves me taxes, I'm all for it. Wolf wants to know, in your state, do they do that now? If not, would you like to see that happen? If you don't, maybe you have a contrary viewpoint. Maybe you think it's wrong. Maybe you think the revenue for the taxes is important, and you're totally against the banning of taxes on groceries. And if you're out of the country, if you're in another country besides the United States of America, what do they do there? How do they handle the taxes on food? What is your situation there? Share with the rest of us so we know, with our Wolfpack listeners from around the world, wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Or our voice comment line, some people are using it, 206-350-3919, 206-350-3919. It's free. You get at least 2 minutes to speak, so it doesn't rush you off. I know 2 minutes because we had a phone call of a little over 2 minutes. I don't know if it goes three, but I know two. Say anything you want. State your first name, the city state you're calling from, and your age range, how you heard about the show, and then make your comments, and we're going to play that on the air. We have Chris, a young fella, who phoned us. We will play that voice comment. He's from Boca Raton, Florida, 22 years old, Chris, and he left us a message on our voice comment line, and we will play that on our next show. So thank you, Chris. When we come back in the third hour, we're going to talk about a bill that would mandate a nicer term for the word illegals, illegal aliens. They're going to change that term. They're trying. Also, U.S. had doubts on North Korean uranium drive is up on the schedule. Iranian president to pay a rare visit to Saudi. We're also going to talk about group calling Gore a hypocrite over his power bill. And we're going to talk about what else? February 5th national primary to include 20 states. Holy moly. A sighting of bin Laden. Hey, bin Laden's in the building again. And a lot more to talk about ahead. So we've got a lot of issues. And don't forget, we are asking for your emails. To recap, I really have to say this. Guy James was on his show yesterday talking about that he may fold the show, and that's very sad to hear. And I've been talking with Guy, and I hope he doesn't do that, but he's been doing it for 4 years, and the lack of funding, the lack of financial support, because he's entirely funded by listeners, is just not there. We don't want to go that route, and we try to avoid asking you, the listeners, for monetary support. I don't feel comfortable doing that. Guy does it, that's great. Other people do it. I don't condone that. I don't condemn that. That's their deal. And more power to them one way or the other. For us, our support is emails. How does it help us? You say, well, you can't eat emails. You can't finance a show with emails. Actually, we can. Your emails will help us get syndicated worldwide to over 15,000 Wi-Fi hotspots. We have two investors who are highly interested in the show, love what we do here, think there's a need for the show to be heard in a bigger venue. Not away from the horn. We're not leaving the horn. We're not leaving the Head On Radio Network. Bob and Agnes and everyone else, they are our family. We are staying here. But we're trying to reach out to more listeners and bring more listeners to the horn. If we get syndicated worldwide on hotspots, obviously we talk about the horn, Head On Radio Network benefits. The best way you can help us, folks, is literally email us so we can show the investors the massive amounts of emails we come in. I don't want to be sad. You know, Guy's sad because the funding is not there. If I can't even get emails from our listeners to say that you support us and you listen to the show and you like the show, if you want our show to stick around, you don't want another show to drop off the face of the earth, which could conceivably happen. This guy's doing a great job, and he's a veteran. So am I. If Guy goes bye-bye, it's easy to say some of us also will go bye-bye. We need your emails. You send us your emails. We show it to the investors. They go, wow, they got a hell of a lot of emails, a lot of listeners. And then we get syndicated. And then we stay on the air because it will be paying us money as far as financing the show because it benefits everyone. So please write to us. wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's our appeal to you. Your emails can make a difference to push the show into a higher situation so we can get phone lines, interviews, stay on the air, and give you the quality of network programming that you'd love. Email us, please. First name, city, state, country, age range, how you heard about the show, and any comments you want to make about the show. We're going to come back in our third hour right after these words. Don't go away. America's Liberal Voice, the head-on radio network, the Jeff Allen Wolf Show.
From Studio 19 in Arizona, it's Jeff Allen Wolf, again on the Venture 3 Radio Network.
And back with you on our third and final hour of the day on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, Studio 19, Arizona Live, as you heard. And Samantha's still hanging in there. Are you holding on? She says, yes, yes. She wants the emails. She wants to go syndicated. She's always wanted to be on a worldwide syndicated, not just worldwide listened to, but actually syndicated. It's so funny, you know. We have the listeners, but we're not heard all over. And I've said this to Guy, and I've said this to Bob, and I'll say this to everyone else. There's nothing different. There's no difference between Guy James, Bob Kincaid, Mark Levine, and myself, Jeff Allen Wolf versus Randy Rhodes, Tom Hartman, Mike Malloy, you can argue all you want, folks. Peter Werby, Peter B. Collins, Al Franken, Bill Press. I'll say Peter B. Collins, he's not heard all over, but I'm saying, and Mike Malloy, it's not fair to him, he's in the same type of boat. But the big wigs, the big corporate people, the Randys and the Toms, etc., there's no difference between them and us, except they are heard all over with a potential listening audience of a million plus. And I really believe...